Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 26th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The situation at Chingwizi Transit Camp in Maswingo is fast reaching boiling point, with the Tokwe Mukosi flood victims accusing government officials of demanding sexual favors from young desperate teenagers in exchange for food.
At Chingwizi, at the moment, we are still facing serious food shortage for the people. Per month, we need 156 tons. We only got 36 tons.
Zimbabweans commemorate Africa Day with calls for transparent leadership, economic empowerment of the poor, and more political freedom.
It is a very important day to Zimbabwe and to Africa as a whole. OAU was responsible for the liberation of Southern Africa. To that extent, therefore, we attach great importance to Africa Day.
And African Union Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma urges restraint in Malawi as parties argue over poll results.
The situation at Chingwizi Transit Camp in Maswingo is fast reaching boiling point, with flood victims accusing government officials of demanding sexual favors from young, desperate teenagers in exchange for food. Though admitting that the food situation has reached serious levels, Maswingo resident minister Kudakwashe Basikiti is refuting the allegations that government officials are now abusing desperate flood victims. The government needs about 156,000 tons of maize meal a month to feed the more than 20,000 families displaced by floods from Tokwe Mukosi in February. But the humanitarian appeal for Chingwizi has been hit hard by donor fatigue, and the cash-strapped government is struggling to raise enough resources to relocate the flood victims to a Nwanetse ranch in the province. Chingwizi villager Milton Shumba tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that government officials are taking advantage of desperate victims.
The situation is just bad. For you to get food, these little girls and some other people's wives, they exchange food for sex. That's the situation. You know, it's a problem. You cannot decide what to do and what to say. So it's like they sleep with these little girls, they sleep with these beautiful women for food.
Who exactly is doing this?
The officials and also the police officers who are manning this, the camp. They are the ones who are doing all these things.
But Minister Basikiti is saying that is not true, because he did ask the police and some officials and even the flood victims, and no one stepped up to say this is exactly what is happening.
Okay, he's saying his side of the story, but is he denying that they are stealing food from this the donated food? Is he agreeing that they are stealing the food?
He's also saying it's not true.
So it's, right. That's his own side of the story. It's like he's trying to protect himself and the government as well. The situation is they are stealing, they are lying with these young girls and women for food. This is very true. You know, if you are asked in front of everybody to just come and testify, it's very difficult for fear of victimization.
A Chingwizi villager Milton Shumba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Maswingo.
But resident minister Kudakwashe Basikiti tells a Blessing that he met the flood victims today to verify the allegations, but found them to be untrue. He, however, admits that the food situation is getting desperate.
Actually, at the moment, we are still facing serious food shortage for the people.
What amount of food do you need per day to feed the people at Chingwizi camp?
Per month, we need 156 tons. So this month, we needed 156 tons. We only got 36 tons. This is why we were now giving about a kg or so per family. So it means we still have a balance of about 110 tons.
Honorable Basket, there are also these media reports that government officials tasked to distribute food aid to victims of the floods at Chingwizi transit camp have been accused of demanding sexual favors from teenage girls in exchange for goods. How far true is this, and are you investigating the reports?
I was there. I am there still at Chingwizi. I asked even our police officers about that, and asked even the leaders of the people at Chingwizi about those reports. They said that never came from here. We are surprised to hear about it. We don't have any such misbehavior which is of that nature.
That was Maswingo resident Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Chingwizi.
Meanwhile, a youth organization, Practical Empowerment Networking Youth Association, or PENYA, says it is teaming up with US-based globalvision.org, a crowdsourcing website, to raise funds to help the Tokwe Mkosi flood victims. The project launches on June 1, and the group expects to raise $5,000 for the initial phase. Once PENYA raises the initial amount in 30 days, Global Giving will launch the full program aimed at raising at least $79,000 to build low-cost classrooms and furnish them. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with PENYA director Hilary Msarurwa, who explains how Zimbabweans can assist.
Well, Tatenda, I think that idea came up as a desire to play a part in assisting the young people at Chingwizi who is really living under conditions that are not very conducive. And I think for me, it came out as a passion to try and do something to help these young people, such that they don't really see the problem that they are facing, but at least they can get to know that there are people out there who are also willing to assist and support them.
How exactly will partnering up with Global Giving assist you to raise the funds to build these classrooms?
Well, I think for me, it's an issue of if we had try to do it on our own as PENYA, I don't think the outreach would have been that much. And also the fact that we're using Global Giving's website or Global Giving as a partner, they have years in track records in terms of crowdfunding. They have access to a number of people around the world who have donated via their website.
The site for the fundraising goes live June 1st, but explain to our listeners how they can participate in this fundraising effort.
Well, I think basically people can donate as little as $10 and as much as they would want. They'll just need to go onto the Global Giving website and look for our project number. It's project 17189. Then they donate whatever amount they want.
A Practical Empowerment Networking Youth Association Director Hilary Msarurwa in Johannesburg.
Zimbabweans commemorated Africa Day with calls for transparent leadership, economic empowerment of the poor, and more political freedom. The majority of people marked the day celebrated each year on May 25th to commemorate the inception of the Organization of African Unity at their homes, while others attended several political functions in Harare and Bulawayo arranged by ZANU-PF and independent groups. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7's Bless Gibbs Dube the OAU helped in liberating Zimbabwe from colonial rule, and as a result, local people should wholeheartedly commemorate Africa Day.
We witnessed quite a number of people gathered talking about the freedom of Africa. There were lots of commentaries made by various intellectuals, leaders, of various organizations, churches, and so on, because it is a very important day to Zimbabwe and to Africa as a whole. 25th day is one of our major calendars in the history of Zimbabwe. the OAU was responsible for the liberation of Southern Africa. To that extent, therefore, we attach great importance to Africa Day. It is a day when we remember our heroes. It's a day when we remember our leaders who brought about the freedom of the continent.
So at the end of the day, can we safely say that Zimbabweans can just join the rest of the world in celebrating this day because they've got some freedom to actually vote?
Absolutely.
And that was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Director Roderick Fayayo of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association argues that only the elite are enjoying freedom in Zimbabwe and other African nations.
In terms of the formation of the OAU and its functions and the vision of the OAU, I think it's worth celebrating. But I think there are a number of things that have not been done that makes us wonder if we should be able to celebrate Africa Day as Africa. For instance, if you look around Africa, you look at the level of poverty, and you look at the dictatorship, and you look at how the elites have been able to amass all the wealth at the expense of the ordinary people, how wealth has actually been transferred from a few black elites and the subsequent poverty. I think for me, those are things that raise questions when it comes to celebrating Africa Day.
So what is the way forward for Africa and Zimbabwe in particular in terms of all those kind of, you know, freedoms?
I think we should be able to say things without the fear that there are people in dark glasses who are listening or who are looking at us. People should be able to work and get paid and be able to send their children to school for the future. I think we should be able to have adequate health facilities if we are talking about an independent Africa. And all those, for me, are basic. And those are the things that we need so as to be able to wholeheartedly celebrate our Africanness.
That was Roderick Fayayo of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dubem.
And a political scientist, Professor Shadrack Gutto of the University of South Africa, says African countries' political and economic freedom has been crippled by imperialism.
There's a lot we can celebrate. We are dealing, of course, with a new phase of neocolonialism, where the same countries that colonized that, they remained in terms of companies, transnational corporations, controlling the economies of the countries, and their leaders continuously pretending to be giving us aid when that is just to suit the plunder that they continue to carry out on the continent. And of course, leaders who tried after independence to be independent, some were assassinated, coup d'etats were held to remove them and so on. But we are in a new era where people are trying to use, at least on the main, the ballot box to change governments. But we still have problems of rebels, military coups, but they are not as much as they used to be in the 60s, 70s and the 80s.
Now, looking at the ballot box, can you say that Africa has achieved a lot?
We have achieved something. We haven't achieved what we would have achieved if we had good governance and leadership. And that is the area where we need to examine as we go ahead.
And that was political scientist Professor Shadrack Gutto of the University of South Africa speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. The OAU was formed in 1963 primarily to cater for the liberation of African nations that were occupied by colonial settlers. The organization is now known as the African Union.
The chairperson of the African Union Commission, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, says she is closely following the post-election situation in Malawi and the growing anxiety over the operational challenges during the polling phase and the announcement of election results. Following attempts by President Joyce Banda to annul last week's vote, she says was marred by rigging, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is calling for the general public, political party leaders and civil society organizations to exercise exercise some calm and allow the Malawi Electoral Commission to complete its job. The High Court in Malawi on Saturday overruled an attempt by Mrs. Banda to annul the elections she says were marred by rigging. One of her main rivals, Peter Mutharika, of a former foreign affairs minister and brother of the late President Binguwa Mutharika, has a lead in the unofficial exit polls.
Mrs. Banda's other main challenger is former preacher Lazarus Chakwera, representing the Malawi Congress Party, which governed from independence in 1964 until the first multi-party poll in 1994. Mrs. Banda, who came to power 2 years ago after the sudden death of President Binguwa Mutharika, had said a new vote should be held within 90 days and she would not stand again in any new poll. Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition Chairman Dewa Mavinga observed the elections in Malawi. He also is calling for sense to prevail in the country.
Well, the pre-election period in Malawi was fairly peaceful, non-violent, characterized by an absence of human rights abuses. But the challenge began with the voting period itself, which was chaotic logistically, where a number of senders failed to receive ballot papers and other materials, indelible ink, on time. And in some cases, on the 20th of May, election was supposed to begin at 6 a.m., several senders around Blantyre, particularly in the south, did not have voting starting for the day. Some senders 2 o'clock, some senders started at 4 p.m. So this was a huge logistical nightmare for the Malawi Electoral Commission, which then threw everything into disarray, with the voting spilling over into a second and third day. And now we have serious disputes in terms of what happens in terms of the counting of the ballots. The Malawi Electoral Commission conceded that the IT system that they were using for receiving results collapsed and they had to go manual. And that, again, is another big challenge. And now we have the head of state, Joyce Banda, who was a contestant in the election, challenging this process, nullifying it and calling for fresh elections within 90 days. But this position is not supported by the courts as well as by the Malawi Electoral Commission. So there is a standoff which is not healthy for democracy. And one would hope that sense would prevail and that there will be a deference to independent and autonomous institutions that are responsible for the management of elections in Malawi to advise on the way forward.
We also asked Dewa Mavinga to give us his take on President Jacob Zuma's cabinet following the ANC's victory in that country's recent elections. Mavinga says the appointment of the country's first black finance minister was long overdue, especially 20 years since the beginning of black majority rule. President Jacob Zuma yesterday picked Nhlanhla Nene to become the country's first black finance minister.
It's a progressive cabinet overall. But we should not read too much into the fact that now we have a first black finance minister. It needs to be much more than that. I think when you look at the issues of finance and poverty eradication, wealth distribution and development in South Africa, there is need to have a broad agenda for the development of all the people, particularly the black majority, without saying that now we have a black finance minister. In fact, this is a long overdue position that should have perhaps begun in 1994, not only to look at the individuals, but also to look at real empowerment in real terms for the black people of South Africa.
Mr. Mavinga, we see that Ms. Lindiwe Zulu, who was President Jacob Zuma's point person in Zimbabwe during the mediation talks between ZANU-PF and the MDCs, has now been elevated to become a full cabinet minister. Your thoughts on that promotion?
A positive development, well-deserved for a very hard-working woman who not only campaigned tirelessly for the ANC within South Africa, but also was actively involved in supporting mediation and peace talks in Zimbabwe. So it's appropriate that she be acknowledged in this way, not only because of her role as an individual, but also the broader position that the Zuma cabinet has adopted of having more women. I think at least 15 women are in cabinet as ministers, including Ms. Lindiwe Zulu. And this indeed is a positive development which must be applauded, but which must say they need, South Africa needs to go further to look at the 50-50 gender parity that SADC has adopted, and also to say other countries in SADC should emulate this and promote more women to these important positions of running nations in Southern Africa.
That was Human Rights Watch researcher Dewa Mavinga on the line from Johannesburg in South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai's office says it has written to the Herald newspaper and the Zimbabwe Media Commission complaining about what it says is, quote, mischievous, reckless and misguided yellow journalism after the newspaper published a story alleging that Mr. Tsvangirai is seriously ill, resulting in his failure to address a party rally at the Zimbabwe grounds in Highfield yesterday. Tsvangirai spokesman Luke Tamborinyoka says the Herald newspaper is sensationalizing Mr. Tsvangirai's health issues. Tamborinyoka says Tsvangirai failed to attend the rally on the advice of his doctors, who said he needed to rest. Last week, the MDC leader also failed to attend his party's Glenview rally, feeding into the speculation that he is not too well. Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Tamborinyoka.
That is mischievous, reckless, and misguided yellow journalism. I have actually just finished writing a letter to the Herald and to the Zimbabwe Media Commission. And the Herald story itself says that we speculate, there is the word speculation in that line, we speculate that he is terminally ill, and you say to yourself, surely can a family newspaper report speculation? We are actually taking action regarding that. We are not taking it lightly. We take great exception to that kind of reportage, which is not sensitive to Mr. Tsvangirai and to his family. Like we said yesterday, in Tendai Mgadu was there when I addressed the journalists, that Mr. Tsvangirai is taking a rest on the doctor's orders. This idea of him being terminally ill is mischievous, to say the least. There are others we know who are seeking treatment outside the country. We have never said that they are terminally ill.
When can Mr. Tsvangirai be expected to make public appearances?
I wouldn't say exactly when. I'm not a medical doctor, but I can tell you that I've spoken with him in the morning. He sounded upbeat. His spirits sounded as if they were high. And in my own layman's assessment, I think as early as next week, he could have resumed his political program. But like I said, I'm not a doctor.
For how long has he not been feeling well?
It's for the past 2 days.
Yesterday, why did it take you long to notify the public about his absence?
We didn't take long to notify the public of his absence. We received a call and the crowd had gathered, and Mr. Chamisa actually told the gathering that Mr. Tsvangirai would not make it. And I actually took journalists aside and addressed the press conference, telling them that on the doctor's instructions, Mr. Tsvangirai could not be with us at Zimbabwe Ground.
That was MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai's spokesman Luke Tamborinyoka in Harare on the line with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
In Bulawayo, the MDCT Bulawayo Provincial Executive has suspended Magwegwe legislator Annelen Ndebele on allegations he assaulted a party official last year. Observers see the move as a culmination of the enduring power struggles within the party's Bulawayo structures. Last month, the provincial council attempted a coup on provincial chairman Gordon Moyo, but was blocked by party leader Morgan Tsvangirai. Acting Bulawayo MDCT spokesman Swithen Chirowodza tells VOA's and Ndebele suspension sends a clear message that the party does not condone violence.
This suspension has been slow in coming because the provincial executive and committee only meets once a month, and what had necessitated the delay is also the issue of a backlog of letters and other business that the province has to deal with.
But is this suspension not part of the whole infighting matrix currently consuming the MDCT?
No, it has nothing to do with the Mangoma and the DT issues whatsoever. The assault took place on the 13th of November 2013, well before the Mangoma issues began. And what we had just to do as a province is just to do this so that people get to know within the structures that we are not going to tolerate violence.
That was acting Bulawayo MD City spokesman Sweden Chiroza. Studio 7 was unable to reach Ndebele for comment, but he told the Southern Eye newspaper that his suspension was caught against the constitutionalism that the MD City is clamoring for.
The divisions in the MDCT faction appear to have sunk deep and are now affecting the party's respected Guardian Council, a group of elders drawn from the country's 10 provinces. The divisions in the council first appeared last week following a meeting of the 30-member body that is expected to provide checks and balances in the party and offer and play an advisory role. Chairperson of the body, Sekai Holland, alleged that she was arm-twisted into making a statement attacking the so-called MDCT renewal faction led by the party secretary general, Tendai Biti. The council met for the first time last week since calls for party leader Morgan Tsvangirai to step down were made earlier this year. Holland later called a press conference and read what she said was the correct statement from the elders. She said the council had, during its deliberations, blamed both factions for problems in the party and called on them to unite. In her earlier statement, which she claimed to have been edited by party propagandists and forced to read, Holland had instead blamed only the BT faction for the problems afflicting the party. However, a member of the Guardian Council, Jeff Makore, told Studio 7 Holland is not telling the truth.
I could not say it was doctored or it was not, it was changed, because there was nobody who could have forced him not to present whichever statement she wanted. But it was by agreement that the statement that was written by herself did not represent exactly what was echoed by the committee of the Guardian Council. Because we wanted distinctly people to understand that the meeting that was chaired at Mandel was chaired by Stepa Mkomo as an individual, which was his right anywhere. But he did that without the consent of the Guardian Council. We were nowhere near to that particular meeting because we were so much ignorant about that meeting. We can't claim representation. So the emphasis which we made was just to make things clear that we were not part of that other than the individual who wanted to chair is that one. So
That was Jeff Makore, a member of the MDCT Guardian Council. He spoke with Studio 7 from Maswingo.
We also reached another member of the council, Cornelius Mbayiwa, who tells Studio 7 the minutes of the meeting were doctored.
What we are doing so at the moment is build the structures and reinforce our structures. So where there are gaps, we make sure that we fill those gaps. Gaps that are created by people leaving for any other reasons or people are refusing to recognize that what is prevailing now is that the Morgan Tsvangirai and company is suspended. There are people who are refusing that thing happened and that thing is enforced now. So we will not remain in such kind of people who fill the structures and move forward.
How many regions have these gaps?
We have 12 provinces. We get to a structure and we find that out of 42 people, maybe 10 people understand and appreciate and accept that what is prevailing is that Morgan Tsvangirai and his colleagues have been suspended and there are other guys refuse. We fill all those positions that have been left vacant by those who decided not to move with the reality. Structures that have been filled remain, they will become the proper structures. Those who refuse to accept the reality, we don't care what they do. They remain wherever they remain. They will get to their senses and come back and then they join the movement.
Apologies, that was in fact Begitemba Nyati, Pelanda Bampo, former legislator and MDC renewal team youth leader for Bulawayo province, speaking with Sandekile Mhlanga about the MDC renewal team, saying it is continuing to reinforce its mobilization process through setting up parallel provincial structures to those of the MDCT in other provinces where it faces stiff resistance from those still aligned to Mr. Tsvangirai. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. That's what we had for you in the English Bulletin. Now we hand you over to the Ndebele Bulletin for more news. This is Sandra Nyaira wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
And this is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.